Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are joined by
Kevin Lyman from the Vans Warped Tour,
which is making its actual final stop here at Merriweather Post Pavilion on Sunday, July 29th. Kevin, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Oh, absolutely. We're looking forward to coming up to Merriweather Post. It's been a great stop on our tour, and always a wonderful time working with Seth and the people at IMP on the show, and we'll have a great show.
Absolutely. I want to go a deep dive into a lot of the history, but I guess first and foremost, why did you guys decide to make this one the last one?
Well, I think, you know, when I created a list of about 21 reasons, and a lot of them weren't the ones that people thought, but, you know, one of it's, you know, physically, this is a draining thing on me. I'm 57 years old now, been doing this a long time, and you know what, I kind of owe my wife, after 27 years between Lollapalooza and Warped Tour, I owe her a summer vacation, and I, you know, it's just, I think it's a little bit of changing times too. It's definitely harder to put a touring festival on the road. And I just, you know, I think I've done everything I can with this project.
Gotcha. Well, we appreciate all the years that we've been able to come. Sell our listeners on coming out to see the acts that are coming. Who's playing on this final grand finale?
I mean, we have a great, you know, great lineup. You know, some of this lineup is basically in kind of a tribute to a certain type of history of this tour. I mean, we have bands like The Maine and Mayday Parade and Simple Plan, Falling in Reverse, more from the current era. But, you know, it's just a great, and, you know, and then you throw in Less Than Jake and Real Big Fish. I mean, those bands were playing very early in this tour. So it's kind of a time capsule of what's happened on this tour through the years. And you throw in some of those new bands like With Confidence and Playa La Royale. They'll be the headliners of the future that we've had a good run with of introducing them to a larger audience.
Absolutely. Take me back to the very start of all of this. What year was it, and how did you get the idea? You know, what sort of, you know, there's a lot of tours and a lot of concerts all the time, but where did it pop in your head and said, you know what, this is a niche that we need to serve here?
Well, we were doing a lot of events in Southern California where we were combining skateboarding and music. I'd pay the Red Hot Chili Peppers $250 to play on top of a skate ramp. And we were also doing charity events in the mountains, and I was doing one, and I was a production manager for Jane's Addiction, and it was Porno for Pyros, and I convinced Perry to play a mountain song. He hadn't played a Jane song since the end of that run, and I sit in the snow earlier that day. I'd heard about the X Games being created. And I said, hey, this whole lifestyle that we've led in Southern California, combining skateboarding and music, is going to become much more popular. Maybe I'll go out on the road for one summer and bring some of my friends. And that one summer were bands like Sublime and No Doubt and Quicksand and Orange 9mm and L7. So it was a pretty eclectic tour, even for back then. We bounced around in the D.C. area. We played a club. I think it was called Nations. And we put the skateboard, I'd never forget putting the street course inside the bar and having indoor skating that day.
Is skating culture as big as it used to be? I mean, I remember, you know, Tony Hawk, and then, of course, the CKY and the Jackass guy. I mean, it was this whole culture, and the music seemed to go with those times. But does the same thing still exist today?
Well, I mean, action sports has kind of taken a back seat on Warped Tour. But, you know, the street skating, we're going to have some street skating down here in Virginia. And it's a lot of fun, but we took a backseat with sports as the athletes got more attention through the X Games and the Dew Tours and some of those things. And we became more of a lifestyle festival where we kind of focused on, you know, music and philanthropy. I mean, we work with over 90 nonprofits throughout the year, and we'll have everything from canned food drives in front of the gates where you skip the line with three cans of food to kids that participated in blood drives get VIP access. To, you know, things for teen suicide, Hope for the Day, and a Voice for the Innocent for kids that might have been sexually abused to have a resource to get help. And more recently, you know, this year we've got the FEND movement, which is Full Energy, No Drugs. We're running this whole opioid education campaign that kids are really responding to. So I think we've become more of a mirror of what's going on in society, not only musically, but culturally.
Speaking to that point, do you have any stats on hand, or at least ballpark in your head idea of the philanthropy numbers, how much you've raised for certain causes?
Oh my gosh, we, you know, throughout the years, we, you know, we've raised, you know, well over $2 million through our, you know, quarter. We do a quarter a ticket that's been going to charity since the first one, and we've sold about 11 million tickets. We're estimating about 11 million tickets at the end of this run. So we donated a quarter of that, and that money goes to Music Cares that helps musicians in need. As well as we do things every day. I mean, we just had a craft beer tasting backstage in Colorado the other night, and it raised almost $5,000 from the bands and crews for breast cancer education. So we're constantly doing something. We had bowling tournaments the other day down in Phoenix that we raised money for Living the Dream, which is kind of our Make-A-Wish that we bring kids to concerts that are easy, you know, with chronic or terminal illness. They get to spend a day at Warped Tour meeting all their favorite bands. So we're always doing something. I think sometimes my wife's like, you know, do you do anything but charity on that tour? You know, maybe bring some money home for us, you know. But it's been a good run. And I think we instill it in the artists to go out in their communities and do good on their own tours.
Definitely. Give me a sense of how much it's grown over the years in terms of, you know, how many cities it started and how many it ultimately grew to now.
Well, now, you know, first year in 1995, we did 25 cities. We expanded at one point to about 46 cities. And on this last run, we're doing 38 cities. So it's fluctuated right around that 40 mark for those years. So you add up the years, we've done quite a few Warped Tours. We've been to 20 countries. We've got to play a lot of great places in this world, taking bands that, you know, it's funny watching the Croatia soccer team, but we actually got to do a show there right after the war. So we were there bouncing around Slovenia and Croatia many years ago. And, you know, there's some good memories come back as we tell stories to each other on this last run.
Speaking of memories, who headlined that first run?
Well, first year, I guess you know, Quicksand, I guess, would be considered the headliner, you know. But, 6 months later, Sublime and No Doubt became household names. And we've had a great run with that. You know, if you look through the years, we've had everyone from Black Eyed Peas to Kid Rock to Limp Bizkit to the Deftones. And then in the past few years, we've had people like Paramore, Day to Remember, My Chemical Romance, Fall Out Boy. And then some artists that you might not really, you know, G-Eazy was here a few years ago. Bebe Rexha, who's getting a lot of attention right now, kind of cut her teeth. And then, of course, you go back to 2008 and it being Katy Perry's first national tour. So it's been blended in. We were categorized as a punk rock tour because, you know, Pennywise and NoFX legitimized us in front of a certain group of people. But it's been a very eclectic tour, and I'm starting to see some acts out of here that might, you know, break out.
Awesome. Now that this tour is going to be over, will those sorts of acts, will they miss something like this? You know, where will they go, I guess, is my question.
Well, and, you know, and that's the thing. I think I've laid the groundwork, you know, so people maybe want to start their own tours and maybe avoid some of the pitfalls that I did. You know, maybe, you know, I've educated enough people on that. I've been hearing rumors there's going to be 8 or 10 Warped Tours out next summer. Everyone's going to try one.
Awesome. Everyone's going to be getting warped.
Okay. I'm going to try one.
Awesome. Give me a sense of some feedback that you've gotten maybe from people that have come to those, and especially, particularly if you have anything from anyone that came up at Merriweather. Since it's radio, you know, paint me a little picture of, you know, what they see, what they experience when they go out there. You know, what's the audience feel when they come to Merriweather for this?
Well, we've been feeling, well, Merriweather is a great setting. We've got the trees, and we've tucked some things back in the trees, the stages. We use the grounds really well, and IMP has a beautiful facility. The food choices are good. The staff's really courteous to the crowds. It just is like, you know, it's like going to a county fair, and you're kind of wandering around, and you'd make the right turn here, and there's a stage over here, and there's, but you'll come in. We still write the schedule first thing in the morning, so everyone will be there early. Especially this year, it seems like everyone wants to come and savor the whole day. They've been there. Crowds are early. They stay late. They don't want to leave. They want to tell you all their stories of their early Warped Tours. But, it's a full day, and we still have a value ticket price out there. In this day and age, we try to deliver the best value for the best price.
And just sort of in closing, you personally, what are some great, is there like a great story or two, you know, a favorite memory or something from this whole run? I mean, we've talked a lot about the money you've raised and the different artists that have played, but what about, you know, you there on the ground? Was there some story that pops to mind that, you know, that symbolizes this whole tour for you?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with our days off. When we travel on the days off, I mean, you know, we go places. And the other day for me, it was, you know, that we took bands like 4 Years Strong and a young band called Knuckle Puck, and we took our bus, and they brought their vehicles, and we all posted up in a lake in Arkansas, and we just barbecued and had fun, and we try to make it more than just a tour. Touring can become meticulous and kind of boring, to be honest, but the Warped Tour has always kind of created this vibe, and all of a sudden you had two bands that hadn't really met, and at sundown we're all floating around a lake saying, you know, this is what it's all about. And I think I've created those moments for fans as well as bands. And I'm going to leave this and go be a school professor and start something new in my career. But we'll do things now and then with the Warped Tour.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to join us, Kevin, and also all the work you've done with the tour over the years. As we sign off here, why should our listeners come out to this final one, final sell here?
Yeah, it's the final one. You're gonna have a great day. It's a fun time. Maybe you'll learn something. Maybe you'll register to vote. Maybe you'll go back out into your community and do something awesome, because that's the stories I hear every day, how people were inspired by Warped Tour to either start a band, start a brand, start a nonprofit, or show that it's okay just to be you.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for taking the time. Again, everyone, it's Sunday, July 29th, the final Vans Warped Tour up at Merriweather Post Pavilion. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. Take care.